Alright, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Our daf today is Nedarim Daf Ayin Dalet, 74. Says the Mishnah, Shomeres Yavam. So we'll say, so now again, still in the topic of Nedarim, understandably so. So the Mishnah says, Shomeres Yavam. So Shomeres Yavam, of course, is a woman who is waiting for Yibum. So remember again, her husband has died without children. She now falls before surviving brothers, depending on the circumstances. They have an obligation to go ahead and do Yibum with her. Now, so Shomeres Yavam is a woman who is waiting for Yibum. So Bein Liyavam Echad Bein Lishnei Yavmin. So whether there is one surviving brother or two surviving brothers, so both say, now obviously the following question we're going to deal with is, so let's say now she's what's called the Shomeres Yavam, she's waiting for Yibum. She makes a neder. Who, if anyone, has the power of annulment over that neder? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Yafer. So Rabbi Eliezer says that the halacha is that both of the Yavnin, this is an incredible chiddush, and we'll explain in the Gemara, both of the surviving brothers who are fit to do Yibum, both have the ability to go ahead and annul her nedarim. Now again, it's not saying they have to do it jointly. It's either or. Either or. One or the other has the ability to go ahead and annul her nedarim. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Shua says, Le'echad avalo l'shnayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Eliezer, I agree with you, but only when there is one brother and not two brothers. In other words, if there's one surviving brother, so it's clear who is going to do Yibum, so then Einachinami, he has the right to annul the Shomeres, the Yavama's Nidarim. But if there are two Yavmin, two surviving brothers, then what are both saying? Then remember again, we don't know yet who's going to do Yibum. So because you don't know yet who's going to do Yibum, because remember again, even if one says, I'm going to do it, that doesn't preclude the other from doing it as well. So if there are two surviving brothers, then Lamaisa, again, neither can go ahead and annul because we don't yet know who ultimately is going to be the quote-unquote Yavam. Rabbi Kiva, third sheet, that says, Lo la'echad velo l'shnayim. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says, no, I disagree with both of you, that a Yavam does not have the power of revocation over the Yavama's Nidarim. So Rabbi Kiva fundamentally disagrees with both. So we'll say, so take a look just for a second at the Ran. So the Ran says over here, the Ran says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo le'echad velo l'shnayim, Degria le'yava me'arus, Va'afidu b'shutfus lo mati mefer. So we'll say, we're going to see, and we'll develop this more in the Gemara, but Rabbi Akiva's Shita is the most extreme, because Rabbi Akiva holds that the Yavam, not only can he not annul the Nedarim himself, meaning it appears, when you read this Mishnah, and again we'll qualify this in the Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua are both saying that the Yavam has the ability to annul the Yavama's Nedarim all by himself. The Machlokis just is that Rabbi Eliezer says this is true even if there are two surviving brothers, and Rabbi Yoshua says it's only true if there's one surviving brother. Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, you're both fundamentally wrong. The Yavam in general does not have the ability to annul Nedarim, because the Yavam is not even as strong as an Arus. At least an Arus could go ahead and annul the wife's Nedarim as long as what? As long as the father participates in the annulment process. A Yavam is even weaker than an Arus, that even with the participation of the father, he still cannot go ahead and annul any Nedarim. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer. So we'll say now in the Mishnah, each opinion is going to define their particular approach. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer said the following, Ma'im Isha Shekano Hu Liatzmo Hare Hu Mefer Nedareha. So Rabbi Eliezer says like this, if you in a regular case of marriage, where quite literally, a man acquires a woman for himself. Now, what does it mean a man acquires a woman for himself? Regular marriage. He goes and he marries a woman. So in that case, harehu mefer nidareha. So Rabbi Eliezer says, in that case, he has the ability to go ahead and annul her nidarim. Isha sheikna lo min hashamayim, ein odin sheyefer nidareha. All the more, so says Rabbi Eliezer, in this marriage, where what? in this marriage where this woman has been given to this man by who? By HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Does it not go without saying that he has the ability to annul her nedarim? So we'll see this argument is a little bit flawed. We'll see in the Gemara. But again, at least at first glance, what he's saying is, if in a regular marriage a man has the ability to go ahead and annul his wife's nedarim, and that's a marriage of his own choosing, all the more so Rasikim the Ribbono Shel Olam is the Shadchan. That's what happens in Yibum, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam is the Shadchan, and therefore again, all the more so the husband should have the right to go ahead and annul the nedarim. Now take a look for a moment at the Ran. So the Ran says the following. Now we're going to see. Remember, the argument seems a little bit uneven. Only because in the case of where a man does erusin himself with a woman, it's true he could annul the nedarim, but not himself with the partnership of the father. So yet Rabbi Elazar says, Isha shignu l'Hashem, going on the run. Isha shignu l'ben Hashemayim, haynu shomeres yavam, she kinu yolo below kiddushin, shasur l'chol adam ad shiyachlo tzla, eno din shiyafer nedarim b'shut vasa da'av. So also listen to this. So what Rabbi Eliezer is simply suggesting is, if Lamaisa, when I do Kiddushin with a woman, so I have the ability to annul her nedarim, true in conjunction with the father, so all the more so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered her to me, so to speak, through the death of a brother, then Lamaisa, again, and remember, there is already a Kiddushin that's affected. Remember, I will say, when a woman falls to Yibum to her husband's surviving brother, it's important to remember that halacha lemaisa, so there's no kiddushin that's necessary, right? The only thing that's necessary is bia, to consummate the marriage. Essentially, they're already in a state of kiddushin. So what he's saying is, if when I affect the kiddushin, I, husband, have the power of annulment, so kiviyachal when HaKadosh Baruch Hu affects the kiddushin, by putting me in a yibum situation, all the more so I have the power of annulment. Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, 1 second. Im amarta bi'isha shekarno hu la'atzmo. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Eliezer, your argument is flawed. Why is your argument flawed? Because when a man marries a woman, let's say again, a man, when I say marry, I'm talking about Kiddushin. A man does Kiddushin with a woman, so we'll say, so what's the chat there? No other man has any rights in that woman. Right? So Reuven does Kiddushin with Rachel. So Rachel is excluded. Now again, they can't yet live together. They can't yet have relations with one another. But nevertheless, again, there is an exclusivity of relationship that exists between Reuven and Rachel. Meaning, if Rachel decides to marry another man, that's called adultery. So his Kiddushin has the ability to create an exclusive bond. On the other hand, Tomar bi'isha shiknu lo min ha-shamayim, shi'yesh la'achirin barushus. Yet Rabbi Akiva says that's not the case by Yibum. Why is that not the case by Yibum, Rabosai? Because let's say a man dies and he leaves behind two surviving brothers. Which brother has the rights in this wife, in this woman? Both. There's not an exclusivity. Remember, exclusivity is only determined when one of the brothers actively does Yibum. So Rabbi Akiva just says to Rabbi Elazar, your argument is flawed. You're trying to say that just like when a man marries a woman, he has the rights of revocation of her vows, again, parentheses, in conjunction with the father. So too, again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shadchan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the Shidduch, he creates the Kiddushin, then all the more so husband should have revocation of vows. To which Rabbi Akiva says, apples and oranges. When you're a Mekadesh woman, you know why you have revocation of vows? Because you've created the bond of exclusivity. In a Yibum case, that bond of exclusivity does not exist. It's true, it's limited to the surviving brothers, but I will say, you know, we learn, well, again, we're experts in this because we spent a good amount of time in Yavamas, but you know that if a man dies and he leaves behind 10 brothers, all 10 of those brothers have the halachic right to go ahead, and even technically imperative, to go ahead and marry that woman. There's no exclusivity. Maybe when there's no exclusivity of relationship, there's not the power of hafara, of annulment of vows either. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua, so listen to this. So Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Akiva, Akiva! Divarecha b'shnei yavmin, ma'ata meshev al yavam echad. To which Rabbi Yehoshua was saying, see, he got literally like a three-ring circus over here. So you have Rabbi Eliezer stating his shita, Rabbi Akiva attacking Rabbi Eliezer, and then coming along, and now Rabbi Yehoshua saying to Rabbi Akiva, I don't understand, your argument is a good one, but it only works in a case of where what? Where there's more than one yavam. Because in that case, again, you can't claim exclusivity of relationship. However, again, Rabbi Kiva, based on what you're saying, if there is only one Yavam, only one surviving brother, then Einach Inami, you would have to agree with Rabbi Eliezer that what? That Lemaisa, again, the surviving Yavam, the surviving brother, should have the ability to annul her vows. Amar lo, to which Rabbi Kiva responded, Ein hayivama gimura liyavam, kishem sharusa gimura liisha. To which Rabbi Akiva responds a very interesting answer, which we'll have to see what it means in the Gemara, which is that, nevertheless, a yivama is not as exclusively vested in the relationship as an arusa is exclusively vested in the relationship. Again, so we'll see what Rabbi Akiva's answer means in the Gemara. So we'll say what we come out with from the Mishnah is a three-way machlokes about the ability of the Yavam to go ahead and annul the vows of the Yavama. We have Rabbi Eliezer saying that either Yavam could do it. It doesn't matter how many surviving brothers there are. Any one of the surviving brothers has the ability to annul the vows. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Next, Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, I agree in principle that a Yavam could annul the vows, but only one Yavam. It could only be in a case where there's one Yavam. If there's more than one Yavam, then again, there is no Yavam revocation of vows. And Rabbi Akiva is saying, you're both wrong. There's no such thing as a Yavam going ahead and annulling vows at all. Annulment of vows is something unique to a regular case of Erusin, because according to Rabbi Akiva, there's an exclusivity that is generated there, but Lamaisa, that same exclusivity does not exist by Yibam, and therefore the Yavam cannot go ahead and negate her vows. Fine, or not negate, but annul her vows. Fine. Says the Gemara, Bishlama Rabbi Akiva Savar Ein Zeka. So I'll say, so now the Gemara wants to go back, and even though in the Mishnah, each particular opinion kind of espoused their reasoning, here Rabbi Akiva wants to take it farther. And Rabbi Akiva says, Bishlama Rabbi Akiva Savar Ein Zeka. So Rabbi Akiva holds, there's no Zeka. Now I'll say, remember we had this before? So, what does Zeka mean? Zeka refers to the marital bond that exists between a Yavam and a Yavama. So I'll say, here's what we know. What we know is that when a man dies without children, his wife falls to his surviving brothers. The Shaila is, what's the nature of the connection between the wife and the surviving brothers prior to the performance of Yibum? Obviously, once active Yibum, when I say active Yibum, that's Bia. Once Bia occurs, so they're husband and wife. Husband and wife. But before Bia occurs, what's the nature of the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama? So we saw in Mesechus Yavamas that that's a fundamental machlokes, yesh zeka or ein zeka. Is there a marital bond that already exists between these people, even before actual Yibam occurs, or not? That's a fundamental machlokes. So the Gemara says, it would appear that Rabbi Akiva holds ein zeka. Rabbi Akiva holds ein zeka. So we'll say, so how do we know that? How do Rabbi Akiva holds ein zeka? Because Rabbi Akiva feels that the Yibam bond, is not like an Erusin bond, which seems to indicate to us that although, yes, there is a halachic obligation for one of the surviving brothers to go ahead and marry this woman, before he actively marries her, there is no real marital bond between these two people. Because of that, Rabbi Akiva's shita is that therefore the Yavam does not have the ability to annul her vows. Fine. So look at the Ran for just a moment. Bishlam Rabbi Akiva kasara in zeka, shayivama zekuka liyavam, lo alima ke Erusin. Even though the Yavama is connected to the Yavam, that they're supposed to do Yibum, nevertheless, it is not as strong as Erusin. And therefore, again, the Yavam does not have the ability to annul the vow. Fine. V'Rabbi Yoshua Sabar, Yesh Zeka. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua says, no, there is Zeka, right? There is a connection. I will say, that's why Rabbi Yoshua holds that what? Rabbi Yeshua holds that if there is a Yavam, that Yavam has the ability to go ahead and annul the vows of the woman. Now remember, Rabbi Yeshua limits his shita to what? To only one Yavam. So now intuitively that makes sense. Why? Because if there's more than one Yavam, you can't claim Yesh Zeka. Why can't you claim Yesh Zeka? Because Lemaisa, again, who is she connected to? Meaning, okay, you can say she's connected to both, but if she's connected to both, then in reality what? Right? She's connected to no one. Right? So she has a connection to both, but Lemaisa, again, you can't claim a marital connection to both, because a woman can't have a marital connection to two men. So Rabbi Yeshua's Yesh Zeka, that's why he will say that a Yavam does have the ability to annul the vows of the Yavama, but only in which case? Only in a case where there is only one Yavam. We'll say, take a look at the Ran for just a moment again. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Yesh Zeka. So listen to this, says the Ran. The Adraba Alima Tfei Me'erisin. Rabbi Yeshua holds that in fact, Yibum, or being in this Yibum state, is even stronger than Erisin. The Havye Kikinusa, Mishum Haki Yafi Yavim Luchude, the Hashtahi Kasakadaitra, Miu, Ein Breira. But the Ran adds to something very important. According to Rabbi Yeshua, there's no Breira. What's Breira, we'll say? Breira is retroactive clarification. So there's no breira here. Deheicha d'shnei yavmin ein breira l'misha hizikuga ulamitia l'isha u'mushum hachi afilu shneim ein yachon lahaver d'cheivan d'bishas hafarasan ein bar lanu mihu yish. So let's listen to this. So maybe you'll say the following. Okay, so Rabbi Yeshua holds yesh zeka. So why don't we do like this? Why don't we go ahead and say that when she takes a vow, let both brothers, let both yavmin annul the vow. Let them both annul the vow. Aye, but one second, which one is going to be the real husband? Don't worry about it. One of them is going to do Yibum. When one of them does Yibum, what happens to Bosai? That should trigger retroactive clarification to the one who was really able to annul the neder, and the neder should be annulled.
What if neither of them do Yibum?
Oh, so then there's no annulment. No, we're assuming right now one of them is going to do Yibum. Let's assume that for these purposes now. If neither of them does Yibum, then Enachinami, of course, that the revocation will be null and void. But let's say one of them does do Yibum. So the Ran teaches us it doesn't work. There is no, everyone apparently will agree that there is no Breira by Nidarim. Why? He says, Durachmana Amar, first white line in the Ran, Durachmana Amar, Ishayi Kimena, Vi Ishayi Ferena. Deba Inon Sheheya Dua Bishas Hafara. Oh, so what's I say? We're going to be medaic in the pasuk now. It says, a man must uphold it, a husband must annul it. In other words, that at the time of annulment of the neder, it has to be clear about what? Who is the husband? Therefore, again, I've also said, it's Xeris HaKasuv. Therefore, again, let's go back now to the Gemara. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua Shita is going to be Yesh Zeka. Yes, there is a marital bond between Yavam and Yavama. And that's why, again, in the case where there is one Yavam, he could annul the vow of the Yavama. But if there are two Yavmin, then annulment will not work. Why? I let them both annul it now, and retroactively we'll see who. When one of them does Yibum, it'll retroactively trigger the annulment of that one. That doesn't work. There is no retroactivity by annulment of vows, because by annulment of vows, it must be unequivocally clear who the husband is at the time of the actual annulment. Ela Rabbi Eliezer, my time. But what's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? Yesh Zeka in Breira. So again, remember, if Rabbi Eliezer holds that Yesh Zeka, which means there is a marital bond between the Yavama and the Yavmin, so how could he now allow annulment in the case of where there are two Yavmin? After all, we just said there's in Breira. So how does Rabbi Eliezer work? Amar Rabbi Ami, oh, Kigon Sha'asa Ba Ma'amar. Oh, so listen, now we get into something very interesting over here. So what? So the way Rabbi Eliezer sets up the Mishnah is like Beis Shammai, where one of the surviving brothers did Ma'amar. Well, remember, what's Ma'amar? Ma'amar is essentially Kiddushin. So remember, again, technically, let's play this out. Ruvain dies, he leaves behind his brother Shimon. So, right, Ruvain dies, his wife Rachel is widowed, so Rachel falls to Shimon. Let's keep it easy, or keep it more complicated. This Shimon and Levi, two brothers. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying that what? Now when Rachel goes ahead and she does, and she, no, let me go back for a second, before the Nadarim. So the halacha is that Reuven and Shimon both have the opportunity to do Yibum. And remember again, they don't have to first engage in an act of, I'm sorry, Shimon and Levi, thank you. They don't have to go ahead and engage in an act of Kiddushin, because really what we're saying over here is that once she falls into Yibum, she's already almost in a quasi-state of Kiddushin. All that's required is essentially Nisuin / Bia. That's all that's required. Now, however, there is a concept of Ma'amar, and Ma'amar essentially is like Kiddushin. Literally, a man goes over to, the surviving brother goes over to the Yavama, and he says, Hari'at mikudesh asliba tabazu. He literally gives her money, gives her an item of value, gives her a ring, whatever it is, and affects Kiddushin. That's called Ma'amar. So Rabbi Ami says the case of Rabbi Eliezer is where the surviving brother is doing Ma'amar, but Rabbi Eliezer savar lo kibei shamai da'amri Ma'amar kona kinyan gamar. And Rabbi Eliezer holds like Beis Shammai, who hold that what? That Ma'amar affects absolute kinyan, full acquisition. But we'll say, take a look at the Rush for just a moment. So the Rush, I think, is in most, I don't know, we'll see, well, whatever it is. It's in my Gemara, it's on the right-hand column. And in the wide lines, it's about six lines in. Kebe Shamrai de Omri Ma'amar Kona Kinyan Gomer Minatora de Darush Velakacht Aloli Isha de Ayide Lekicha Na'asis Ishta. So, boss, I listen to this. So, the Gemara wants to say, what's Rabbi Eliezer's case where even if there are two Yavmin, even if there are two surviving brothers, that they could go ahead and do and annul the vows of the Yavama? Oh, the case is where one of them did Ma'amar. And once one of them did Ma'amar, he effectively becomes the Yavam, and therefore what? He has the power of revocation. Rabbi Eliezer, fine. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua would say to you, Hani mili b'chad Yavam. That only works where there's only one Yavam. Ava b'shnei Yavmin lo. But Rabbi Yeshua would still say it doesn't work where there are two Yavmin. Why? Now, one second. If there are two surviving brothers and one of them did Ma'amar, so why doesn't that establish him as the real husband and therefore vest him with power of revocation? To which the one says, I'll tell you why. Let's play this out. Let's say two surviving brothers, Shimon and Levi. Shimon does Ma'amar. And then Levi comes along and has Bia with the Yavama. But say, what's the halacha? All right, leaving aside the family dynamics, right? Right, what's the halacha? The halacha is Levi did evil. Meaning, so what's interesting is you could say Ma'amar is as powerful as you want. At the end of the day, it's not full Yibum. And because it's not full Yibum, it still leaves the door open for the other brother to go ahead and effect full and complete Yibum. Therefore, Yeshua says, I don't understand what you're saying. You want to say that if one of the brothers does Ma'amar, the brother who did Ma'amar has full rights of revocation because he's like the husband. It's not true. He's not like the husband. He's like the husband as long as the other brother doesn't do anything. But since the other brother does still have the power to effect Yibum, you can't tell me that the brother who did Ma'amar should have exclusive rights of revocation.
But if Ma'amar is like Kedushin, how does that even happen? How does the second brother come along and do
Yibum? Oh, because, well, the simple answer will be because Ma'amar is Dirabanan. Ma'amar does not affect change D'oraisa. So essentially what Ma'amar is, you know what Ma'amar is like? It's like engagement. What is engagement today? Man goes, oh, will you marry me? What is it? It's a declaration of intent. With conveyance of an item of consideration. Right? Conveyance of consideration. Right? So that's all. So is it binding? No, so that's what Ma'amar is. Ma'amar says, I'm going to marry you. I'm employing a halachic mechanism to make it look a little bit more real, but we haven't affected Yibum. So because of that, technically, other brother could come along and do something. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Eliezer, remember we'll say, Rabbi Yeshua is agreeing in principle with Rabbi Eliezer. He's saying, I agree with you that a Yavam has rights to go ahead and know the nether. I just disagree with you that it can only be in a case of where there's one Yavam. Because when there's one Yavam, he is the man. If he is the man, then he has exclusive rights. But once there's more than one brother, then they're both the man, right? Because they both have the ability to do the Yibum. Therefore, the rights of revocation don't have the ability to fully vest with either one. And remember again, one thing is clear, which is everyone will agree. Well, actually, I'll take that back. Rabbi Yeshua says there could only be one person who has exclusive rights of revocation. You can't have two people who are quasi-husbands with those rights. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva Shita, the truth is out of all of these is the easiest. He says, Savar Ein Zeka, right? Rabbi Akiva holds, there is no marital bond between the Yavam and the Yavama. There's an obligation that exists. But there is no marital bond. Ula Rabbi Eliezer de Amar, and therefore again, I'll say that if there's no marital bond, then what? Then the Yavam does not have the right to annul the Nedarim. So Ula Rabbi Eliezer, I just want to point out, the Rabbi Eliezer, now the Gemara is going to quote over here, is an Amora. Right? This is different than the Tana Rabbi Eliezer is being quoted in the Mishnah. So don't get confused by this. So the Ulu Rabbi Eliezer do Amar Ma'amar Lebe Shama in Kona Ella Litchos Bitsara Ma'ikal Meimar. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Amora, who says that Ma'amar, according to this Shama, only works to go ahead and set aside a Kohen. Let's remember we had this. Let's say Reuben dies and he leaves behind two wives, Rachel and Leah. So obviously the obligation of Yibum applies to how many women? Right? Only one. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Amora, he says that when, let's say, one of the surviving brothers does Ma'amar with one of the women, all that does is what? It disqualifies the co-wife. right? It says that this is the woman with whom Yibum is going to be done, but ultimately the Kohath now is out of the running. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds this, so what happens? How does he frame the case of Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, what's the case? So we'll say the case over here is where one of the brothers was brought to Beis Din, and he is now obligated in mezonos. Supposedly, meaning, let's go back for just a second. Remember, we spoke yesterday about the idea that after a certain point in time, there's an obligation for mezonos upon the husband if he does not act. That same concept also applies, by the way, to a yavam. That if after a certain amount of time elapses and the yavam doesn't do anything, the yavama has the right to sue him for financial support. Listen, either go ahead and marry me, or do chalisa, let me marry someone else. But at some point in time, if you're going to keep me in limbo, you have to go ahead and support me. So what's the case according to Rabbi Eliezer? He'll say like this. He'll say it's a case of where ultimately one of the brothers ran away. So there's one brother left. She brings him to Beis Din, and now he is financially obligated to support her. Look at the last rush on the page for just a moment. Ha chamay askinan sha'amad bedin ubarach. Rabbi Eliezer disavar de ma'amar lebe shamay eino kona lios ishto gimura muki la afilu belo ma'amar de ma'amar eino moe le'inyin afaras nedarim umayri b'shamar v'dis. Also remember, this Rabbi Eliezer the Amora, he doesn't hold that ma'amar is as effective as what was stated by Rabbi Eliezer the Tana. Rabbi Eliezer the Tana says ma'amar ma'amashak affects marriage. Rabbi Eliezer the Amora says all ma'amar does is it just disqualifies the co-wife. So according to Rabbi Eliezer in the Amora, how does he understand Rabbi Eliezer the Tana in the Mishnah? He'll say it's the following case, where one of the brothers is now obligated to financially support her. And we'll say, now we're going to go back to something we learned yesterday. Back to the Gemara. Ukidraf Pinchas Mishmei Deraba. The Amar, Kol Hanoderes Al Das Bay Lehinoderes. Remember we saw yesterday, the idea of Rabbi Pinchas holds that once a woman is being financially supported by a man, she voluntarily gives over the rights of revocation of her vows to him. Since there already is a dependency, therefore she goes in and she gives over those rights. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer the Tana would say, that's the case of Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah, of where, yes, Ma'amar is not really effective over here, because Ma'amar doesn't mean anything, Lagabe the Yavam, it just disqualifies the co-wife. But what did happen over here, the reason why, according to Rabbi Eliezer and the Mishnah, the Yavam has the exclusive rights of revocation is why? Because he's supporting her. And according to this opinion, once he's supporting her, he has exclusive rights of revocation. So, Tinan. Supposedly, now the Gemara is going to quote back to the Mishnah. Tanan, Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, top of Amud Beis.
In the Mishnah, we said that when Rabbi Eliezer says Yafer, he understood that she either one of them.
So now the Gemara is qualifying that. That's what's happening over here. The Gemara is narrowing the scope now, ultimately, of Rabbi Eliezer's Shita in the Mishnah. Right? Saying that you thought it was two, but it's not really two, it's one of them, and when one of them did this particular process. Correct. Tanan, Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Uma in isha shekarnali atzmo, arehu mefer nedareha. Isha shehiknelo min hashamayim, eino din shemefer nedareha." So we'll say, remember again. So Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah explained his shita. He says, "I want to explain to you why it is that the yavam has the right to revoke the vows of the yavam. I'll tell you why." Because if, when a man acquires a woman for himself, he has the ability to annul her nedarim, so all the more so if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has conveyed to the man a particular wife, right? He's going ahead and the shidduch is arranged min hashamayim, right? The shidduch is being arranged ultimately by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and giving the man this wife, all the more so, ein odin shamei for nedarha, all the more so he should have the ability to annul her vows. So Mar says, I don't understand. V'ibisha asa ba ma'amar karna la'atzmahu. But according to what we said earlier, first approach in Rabbi Eliezer, that's what? If he did ma'amar with her, then Rabbi say this can no longer be simply called as what? As a woman that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has conveyed to the Yavam. Why? Because the Maisa, the Yavam, has taken action on his own. Right? He's engaged in the process of ma'amar, and he's engaged her, right? One-to-one. So why would you call this the shidduch that HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged for him? To which the Gemara says, all right, it's a very simple answer. Shakar la'atzmo ayyidei shamayim. Okay, it's true. He did ma'amar. It's absolutely true. He initiated action. But remember, how did he get into this situation to begin with? And the answer is, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tifshot Debay Rava. So we'll say, so now the Gemara says, based on everything we've learned over here, we can answer a question that Rabbah posed. And we'll say, if you look at the Ran for just a moment, and this Ran is all the way in the wide lines, about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, about 11, 12 lines down in the wide lines of the Ran. Tifshot Debay Rava, L'Rabbi Ami to Okma B'Sha'asa B'Ma'amar, Tifshot Debay Rava, Erisin Osa, Ubaya Mesira L'Chupa, Ubalafak, so let's listen to this. We're going to see Rabbah has a kasha. We're going to see his kasha in just a moment. What the Gemara is suggesting is based on what the Gemara just said before, namely that Rabbi Eliezer is talking about a case of where Ma'amar was done between the Yavam and the Yavama. Based on that approach, we can answer a secondary question raised by Rabbah. So the Gemara says, what's the question? Tifshot to buy Rabbah. Because what did Rabbah ask? Ma'amar lebe Shammai. So we'll say, according to Beis Shammai, remember, Beis Shammai is the one who holds that Ma'amar is effective. So how effective is it? Eris in Osa? Onisu in Osa? So when we say that, when Beis Shammai says that Ma'amar is effective, what exactly does it affect? Does it affect Erisin, like an Erisin type status? Or does it actually have the ability to affect Onisuin type status? To which the Gemara says, Tifshot dinisu in Osa. It would appear, based on our conversation here, that it actually is able to affect Nisuin. Why? De Erusin Osa. Because if it just affected Erusin, we learn by Erusin, Hotnan Na'araha Mu'urasa Avi Ubaila Mafir Nidareha. We learn by Erusin that a betrothed girl, she needs both her father and her husband to annul her Nidarim. And I've also remember again, what does this sound like in the Mishnah? When Rabbi Eliezer says that Lamaisa, the Arus can go ahead and annul the Nadarim, who does this sound like has the power of revocation? Who does it sound like? The Arus himself exclusively, without the father. So Rabbah had this kasha, according to Beis Shammai, who says that Ma'amar is effective. How effective is it? Does it affect an Erisin type status, or does it affect an Isuin type status? So the Gemara says it appears based on the Mishnah, that it affects an Isuin type status, because it appears that Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah is literally saying that the Yavam has the ability to annul the Nadarim all by himself. And if Ma'amar just affected an Erisin type status, what should be the halacha? He should have to go ahead and annul the Nadarim in conjunction with who? In conjunction with the father. To which the Gemara. Yeah, because when she becomes a Bulgaris, he no longer has rights in her.
So we're assuming that this is not happening when she's in Naira?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Otherwise, there's no question. So the Gemara says, switch the Gemara, Amar Nachman bar Yitzchak, Ma Yafer, Yafer B'Shutfus. Oh, he will say, to which, and this is a little anticlimactic for us already, because we read this in the Ran, already in the Mishnah. But so comes along Nachum Yitzchak and says, no. When the Mishnah says that the Yavam has the ability to go ahead and annul the Nedarim of the Yavama, it doesn't mean exclusively, it means in conjunction with the father. Telling us that even according to Beis Shammai, who says that Ma'amar is meaningful, Ma'amar is only meaningful to the point that it affects Erisin, but it would not affect Nisuin. We have a brisa that supports this. Now, brisa that supports what? A brisa that supports the idea that the Mishnah is talking about a case of where one of the two surviving brothers did ma'amar with the Yavama, Rabbi Ami. So we have another, we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Ami. Remember, Rabbi Ami is the one who said that the case of the Mishnah is where one of the brothers did ma'amar. What's the case? Shomeres Yavam, if you have a woman who is waiting for Yibum, Bein Yavam Echad, Bein Shnei Yavmin, whether it is one surviving brother, one Yavam, or two Yavmin, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yafer. Rabbi Eliezer says that the Yavam has the ability to go ahead and annul the Nedarim. Rabbi Yeshua says, Le'echer V'lushnayim, one, if there's one Yavam, he could annul, but if there's more than one Yavam, there is no power of annulment. Rabbi Kiva says, Lo Le'echad V'lo L'shnayim. No, you can't have the Nedar annulled by one, nor can you have the neder annulled by two. According to Rabbi Akiva, there is no annulment by the Yavam at all. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, "Uma im isha she'ein lo chilek ba." So Rabbi Eliezer said, Rabbi Eliezer made the following kavachomer, and when it comes to a woman who a man does not have rights in, Ad shelo tava l'reshuso, until he actively marries her. Misha basa l'reshuso nigmar alo isha. And yet again, when she does come to his reshus, ultimately what? Right? I'm sorry. Did I read this wrong? So let me read it again. Amar Rabbi Elazar, uma im isha she'in lo chelek ba. Ad shelo tava l'reshuso. So we'll say, if you have a woman, ultimately again, who he does not have a chelek in her until she comes into his reshus, but yet mishabasa l'reshuso nigmara lo, that ultimately again when she comes into his reshus, ultimately nigmara lo means she is totally his and he has rights of revocation. Isha sheyesh lo chelek ad shelo tava l'reshuso mishabasa l'reshuso ino din shetigmar lo. So a woman who ultimately he does have some level of reconnection with, even before she enters into his domain. Once she enters into his domain, doesn't it go without saying that he has the ability to annul her nadar? Now, what is this talking about? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Rashi says, Misha basa l'reshuso nigmara lo, mefer nadara huvavia. So the first case is talking about over here, a regular woman. Before she comes into his reshus, ultimately, again, he has no power of annulment over her nadarim. Yet once there is kiddushin, so he together with her father has power of annulment. Isha sheyesh lo chelik ba'ad shelo tava l'reshuso, a woman with whom he does have a connection even before she enters into his reshus. What does that mean? Rashi, she's a kukalo ad shelo asa ba'ma'amar. There is zeka even before there is ma'amar. Misha basa l'reshuso, where ma'amar was done. Of course, he should have the ability to go ahead and be made for an adarm. In other words, we both say that what the Gemara is suggesting over here, according to this Braisa, is that Lamaisa, there is a connection between the Yavam and the Yavama even before Ma'amar was done. Namely, there's a Zeka. So if in a case where there is no connection between man and woman previously, yet once there is Erusin, husband has the rights to go ahead and know the Nadarm true, in conjunction with the father. So all the more so in a Yibam situation, where once they are cast into the Yibam situation, there is a connection. Ma'amar further bolsters that connection. Certainly he should have the power of revocation. So the Gemara said the following. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, what are you talking about? Lo. So Rabbi Kiva says, your logic only works with a woman whom a man married of his own volition. Because the same way that he had no reshus in her, so too no one else had any reshus in her. And therefore when he marries her, he has exclusive reshus in her. That's why there's a power of revocation. But yet again, if you're talking about a woman whom God gave him, right, namely the Yibum situation, the same way he, the Yavam, has a chilek in her, others, i.e. if there are other surviving brothers, also have rights in her. Therefore, it doesn't make sense to say that one brother, even if he did ma'amar, should have the right to go ahead and be made for the nedarim. Rabbi Yeshua says, Akiva, divarecha b'shnei yavmin. Akiva, your words make sense where there's more than one Yavam, because there's more than one man that has rights in her. However, again, but Akiva, what will you say in a situation of where there's only one Yavam? Meaning where there's one Yavam, there is only one person who technically has rights in her. Why, if they did Ma'amar, why should that not give him the power of revocation? To which the Gemara says, Amarle, Rabbi Akiva responds, Klum chalaknu al yavam echad v'ashnei yavmin, because you can't start making distinctions between a case of where there's one yavam or there's two yavmin, bein sha'asa b'ma'amar, bein shalo asa b'ma'amar, whether ma'amar was done or ma'amar was not done. Ukishar dvarim, kein nidarim. Well, so listen to this. So Rabbi Kiva says like this. Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Yeshua, I recognize your argument, and I understand you're correct, that the argument that I am advancing seems to hold more water in a case of where there's two Yavmin. But where there's one Yavam, perhaps my argument wouldn't hold water. But Rabbi Kiva says, we can't start making distinctions between cases. We're not going to be mechalik between a case of where there's one Yavam and there's two Yavmin, or for that matter, a case of where Ma'amar was done or Ma'amar wasn't done. And I will say, now the fact that Rabbi Akiva says this indicates to us what? that the brice that they're quoting over here actually is referring to what? A case of where Ma'amar was done. That bolsters the opinion of Rabbi Ami, who says that Rabbi Eliezer, Shita in the Mishnah, is where Ma'amar was actually done. Ukishar Dvarim, and again, the Ran over here comments, he says, Kimosh Bishar Dvarim, Yevama Ina Nechsheves Ka'arusa, Kach Benedarim Ina Nechsheves Barusa. And also in the same way in other ways, and we'll discuss what this means tomorrow, but in the same way in other ways, she's not considered to be an Arusa. So Rashi points out a very simple way, that if, let's say, Rabosai, if a woman who's waiting for Yibum goes ahead and has relations with another man who is not her Yavam, what's her punishment? What's her punishment? She violates a law. She violates a law, but there's no skila. So what does that show you? What does that show you? That she's not an Arusa. She's not, if she was not Arusa, there'd be skila, right? A girl who was betrothed to someone else commits adultery. That, was another man, that's adultery. The fact that she could go ahead, and we're not encouraging her to be with another man, but if she is, obviously, then the Maisa again is no skila. So Rabbi Kiva says, the same way that she's not an Arusa for other things, Cain Nedarim. So too, she's not an Arusa for Nedarim, and therefore, again, if she's not Arusa for Nedarim, that means no Yavam has rights of revocation over her Nedarim. But so let's just end with this. Belashna ze Amr Ben Azai. So listen to this. Ben Azai used to say, when Ben Azai would review this exchange between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishon Ben Lazi, he would say, Chaval Alecha Ben Azai. Woe to you, Ben Azai, Shaloshi Mashta es Rabbi Akiva. You should have spent more time learning from Rabbi Akiva. In other words, they both say, look how masterfully Rabbi Akiva handles himself in this situation. He's under attack on both sides, but yet he's right, he's able to go ahead and answer and deflect all of the questions. So Ben Azai would say this, and he said, oh, you know, all of my years I had the opportunity to learn from Rabbi Akiva, and I learned from him here and there, but I should have applied myself to learning more from him, because look what a great individual he is. Rabbi Akiva, we'll stop over here for today. Again, we're stopping kind of mid-sugya, but we'll pick up in Yeretz Hashem tomorrow with Ayin Hayim Adalef.